Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview of Sheffield United versus Chelsea. Take on a relegation threatened team after a fantastic performance against Manchester United. That doesn't make me nervous at all. It's just me and Jordan this week. Tom is off out frolicking with his mates after returning from France. It's my last night in Italy, so I'm a little bit gutted about that. But talking about Sheffield United is top of the priority list this evening for me and for Jordan. However, before we go any further, we do have to talk about that game. Chelsea finally ending their seven-year Premier League curse against United with a big 4-3 win. The billionaire bottle jobs, someone called us. Well, it seems like someone else bottled it. I can't say that seriously because we bottled a 2-0 lead. But, I mean, put it this way, a real game for the neutral and even more so for Chelsea fans. Bottling a 2-0 lead, going 3-2 down, fighting back to win 4-3, my word, it was absolutely classic Barclays. Jordan was there. I obviously gave up my ticket because I wasn't in the country, but I guess that was a blessing because it seems when Chelsea have a curse and I'm not there, positive things happen, Jordan.
It does, mate. It really does. Yeah, I was there. I was lucky enough to grab a ticket. I haven't fully recovered yet, to be honest.
Your voice in that review, man. I can't speak!
Yeah, I was channeling my inner Wayne Mardle. but I genuinely couldn't speak. Mostly because my voice was gone from screaming much abuse towards the Chelsea players for most of the game. Because it just looked like, for 60-odd minutes there, that we were amateurs. And then, obviously, pandemonium at the end, and it just completely saw me off. I feel very lucky to have been there last night. It was genuinely one of the best football games I've ever seen, I think. Just absolute ridiculous finish. Just the limbs in the Matthew Harding end is something that I'm going to remember for a very, very long time.
I'm incredibly jealous because we're an hour ahead here, so it was about 11:30, so pretty much everyone had gone to bed. Me and my brother kind of stayed up and we were watching it on a dodgy stream. So we put all our phones away, weren't looking, didn't want to see the scores, whatever. When the fourth goal went in, have you seen that clip of the Bundesliga fans trying to basically make no noise while celebrating?
Yeah.
That was me and my brother because we were told, my dad was like, right, we're going to bed, be quiet. Because we went 3-2 down, he's like, I've had enough. Like, I've seen this all before, I'm gone, that's it. Yeah. And we were like, okay. But I was going to go, do you know what, stick to the bitter end, see what happens. My heart was sinking and sinking and sinking. But, you know, that goal went in, we were on the floor, like trying to make as little noise as possible. But, you just silently scream, going, yes, come on, get it, just like losing our minds. I think you can say in hindsight, it was definitely classic Barclays. But, you know, having said that, like you said, I do think, as you said in the final score show, that, you know, it was great, but, you know, there is a lot of buts there. And I do feel that, like you said, you spent a lot of time abusing the team. I think it's the wrong way of putting it. But, you know, we're kind of sitting there. We were all sitting with just going, we've seen the script before over and over and over. And it's great that we found something. However, the same individual errors, the same tactical mishaps, the same lack of structural integrity in the team keeps happening. And that is another game where we've conceded two goals. I believe it's 6 on the bounce now. So we really need to sort that out. I think it's the worst season in terms of goals conceded for Chelsea now since 1992. So that's definitely something which needs to be looked at in the summer. But on the positive side, I'm not going to get too excited about it, but that result does put us within touching distance of the European places once again. I think when we kind of written it all off beforehand, getting that result was huge for us. It kind of put, I think if we win both our games now, we'd actually be 2 points behind Man United. Obviously, those games in hand are Spurs and Arsenal, so I'm not sitting here thinking we're going to do that definitely. However, it would be nice, I think it's fair to say, if that could happen. But speaking of belief and looking at things, we were very lucky to be in the press conference last night. And we've got some lovely quotes from our manager, Mauricio Pochettino. And this first one here is all about belief and being able to find a winner.
The feeling where not so good because I seen why we are losing the game, you know, and something happened because if football is like this, but the thing was on the end, always keeping believing, I scored the draw, and we were talking and saying to the our player, still two minutes, believe that we can score the winning goal, and yes, so happy because on the end was of course emotional because, you know, win the game like this, 3 points. For us, really important because it was a must-win game. If we wanted to reduce the gap in between the team that are above us, I think it was so important, you know, the 3 points today.
What do you think about that then, Jordan?
You know, I'm so torn on Pochettino because I really want him to do well. I actually like him quite a lot as a person. How we found the winner is just beyond me. It's just like, just the baby Jesus has sent down a little present for Chelsea fans after months and months of just complete and total dog shit to watch. He's just like, here you go, you deserve this. Now, I want Poch to do well, and I want the players to do well, you know. A lot of fans say, oh, we feel disconnected. I do feel disconnected because it's not like watching Chelsea. It's like something else. And you're just wishing these kids the best and they're not quite there. And you want them to get there so bad, but for whatever reason, they just can't quite figure it out at the moment. And I'm not sure who to blame, whether it's the players, whether it's the coaching, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the physio room. Whether it's the transfer policy, I there's so many variables on why we're not firing on full cylinders. Yeah. But I have so much belief in the squad that we have. I don't even think we particularly need to bring anyone else in. I think they're so young, they just need a little push. Just a little push, and then I think they'll be on their way. But as far as finding that winner go, Cole Palmer. Without him, like, who knows where we'd be? We'd be down there with Forest and Everton, I think.
Well, funnily enough, we do have another quote from Pochettino. It's amazing. It's like we were there. Well, me and Jordan weren't. Someone else was there for us, and we love him for doing that. But this is Mauricio Pochettino on Cole Palmer and how amazing he is for Chelsea Football Club.
Best skill, I think, is one of the best skills is his mentality. And his capacity to deal with the pressure. He's young. I think it's his first season playing, you know, very consistent, with the consistency. And I think it's amazing the way that he deals with the pressure, no? That is talk that can be a very good player, can be a very... We can talk that today, that with the performance today, it's impossible don't say that he's top player, no? But I think it's still a roof to improve.
I think it's fair to say it's one of the very few things we all agree on with Poch there. Just the fact that we've got a player, as you said, you know, with the ability. You said that we've sent something down, right? God has sent down the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus is actually called Cole Palmer.
He is.
He's a Mancunian king. And genuinely, we'll find out later, actually, because don't worry, Tom, before he left, did send us his stat shaggers, and I believe in there we do have the statistic about Cole Palmer. But having said all of that, I think it's important that, you know, we continue just praise him, just to give the ball to Cole Palmer. I think the Sunday league tactics needs to be employed. Is he your best player? Yes. Give him the ball. It's. I think everything about him is he's been fantastic this season. He's equaled the tally for Eden Hazard's best goal season in a Chelsea shirt in the Premier League, which is huge. People call him a stat padder. I don't care. The ball's in the back of the net. But I think with that, I do want to touch on one thing which you said before we played the press clip, which was about the fact we don't need any more players. We definitely need more players purely because I want to keep hold of him. I want to have some quality around him, which can help the team push on. Obviously, there was talk of Victor Osimhen in the summer. I don't know if that would be the case. Personally, just get me, I don't know, Ivan Toney would be the dream signer for me. Yeah. Get me a seasoned veteran in midfield. In my head, right, I want to see I've got three dream signings. All right. One, I'd love to see Ivan Toney. I'm kind of looking past the touch of the Romelu's with his press conferences. I think that team does need a certain level of arrogance, which, to be fair, Enzo showed at the end of the game with Mason Mount, which is very interesting. Because
that's something that I've seen today, and I've never loved something so much in my life. But
exactly, we'll talk about it a bit. But then I'd love to see the shithousery, right, of him with, let's say, dream signer for me. I'd love to see Joao Paulinho at Chelsea, sit him at the base of that midfield, because I don't think Moises Caicedo is a defensive midfielder. He's not. He strikes me as much of a ball playing centre mid. And not, I want to say a touch of the Kantes, but I think that oversimplifies what he is in terms of his defensive output. He doesn't look like someone who sits. And you're not going to pay £115 million for someone who can do that job. You want to get the best out of them. So I'd love to see him and Enzo further forward, Joao Paulinho behind them, sitting there, mopping it up, deals with Poch's height problem as well. And then centre-back, you'll have to come back to me. I'm trying to have a little think, but I am exclusively looking within the Premier League currently, purely because I think that's what this team needs. Premier League experience.
I'm not sold on Enzo far forward.
I'm not saying far forward. I'm saying you'd sit him almost a little... You'd sit him a little bit further forward. So it'd be a case if you'd have him and Caicedo as a 2-8, and you'd have Joao Paulinho as a 6. That's the dream for me. I think also there's a leader in Joao Paulinho. The only problem there is what you're going to do when he's constantly getting booked. I guess that's where you can rotate with the likes of Romeo Lavia. Obviously, Big Les, when he turns up, you've got Carney Chukwuemeka in there as well. But this team does need a bit of oomph, a bit of power. You know, a bit of age, I think, as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we definitely have to sort the forward situation out. I think I love Jackson, and he's young, and he's got a lot of potential. But I'm not sure how much potential he has and where he'll go. Obviously, you can predict away. Like, no one really knows how good he'll be. But I would like to see a seasoned, proven striker up there, playing in amongst them, you know. And for me, I love Toney. I think he's so good. He's doing it in a pretty average Brentford side, and he's doing it consistently. And I think you stick him amongst Mudryk, Enzo, Cole, like, he's just going to produce. There's no way he won't. In no world will he. I just don't know if the owners have, I don't know how much say they have in the transfer policy. I'm not sure if with his history and obviously getting banned for gambling.
Because they'll be worried they've got maybe a Sandro Tonali situation on their hands where he'll get done again. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. £50 million for 3 games.
What's gutting is Tonali's a fantastic player as well.
He is a great player. Yeah.
He's just one of the boys, mate. Just let him off.
Mate,
you know,
he just had a few hackers. That's all he did.
He bet on the Lithuanian second division under 21s league. We've all been there.
He's one of us.
Exactly.
He's one of us. I spent one too many nights betting on Chinese third division basketball to know exactly how that feels.
Oh, mate.
This is one of the boys, mate. Well, ridiculous. It's a witch hunt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, when the summer comes around, I'm sure you and I are going to be talking much more about transfers. But let's touch on it now before we move on to Forgotten Bangers and obviously Tom's big question. Enzo Fernandez, how did you feel about him scrolling up to Mount?
It fed my soul. You know, I, in the space last night, there were a couple of people saying, oh, we shouldn't be booing Mount. So I've been seeing a lot of Chelsea journalists. I'm not going to name names. But they'd be saying, oh, we shouldn't be booing him. You know, he was a great servant for the club, which he was. Don't get me wrong. While he was here, he was a great player. He won the European Cup with us for only the second time in our history. Scored some very important goals. Came from Cobham, obviously. But the way he left and how he's acted since, it's just the biggest slap in the face. He's not exactly coming out in the press being like, oh, I'm so happy to be at United. But
he's actually refused to talk to press.
Yeah, exactly. On purpose, I think. He comes across... No one went up to him at full time. None of the Chelsea players that were here when he was here went up to him at full time. That's telling, first of all. Secondly, him and Enzo were at the club for 7 or 8 months together. there's videos of them being all buddy-buddy on the training ground, and the way Enzo has reacted to him. There's the Reece James story the week he left, saying, if you don't want to build the bridge, carry the bricks, whatever it was, some sort of passive-aggressive, motivational type stuff. There's something going on. He just comes across as this fake PR merchant that no one likes. And there must be a reason for that. And we all know he was offered contracts. It wasn't like we just sent him out on his way and kicked him out the door. He was offered contracts. He said no. He took more money from United. And then he sat next to his dad in the United dressing room talking about we're home. He can fucking piss off.
I mean, I think, look, I disagree, personally. Purely because we don't know what happened. We don't know what happened.
We don't know. We are speculating.
We're speculating. There's so many, especially this week, obviously, because of the game, there were so many contradicting stories to what we heard 3 months ago, to what we heard last week, to what we heard 6 months ago. It's like everything's constantly shifting. So we don't actually know what happened. I think, look, realistically, from what I heard, from what we were looking at, you were looking at Todd Boehly in that summer when he arrived, gave Reece James a mega contract, went, right, this is what you're going to get. Mace, we're going to do with you. Let's go through it, right? Reece James, pen, dotted line, done, whatever. He just wanted to be at Chelsea, right? I'm not going to blame Mason Mount for wanting to negotiate. I think that's silly for people just to say, well, why does this want to stay at Chelsea? At the end of the day, it's a job.
I'm sure we would have. We don't know what happened, but I'm sure that we offered him a contract. May said not enough. We would have offered him another one with more money. We wouldn't have just said, nah, that's it, take it or leave it. And he still said no.
Well, that's the thing. So this is what happened from what I heard was Todd Boehly was doing the contracts. Obviously, they're looking at bringing the experienced players, i.e. Koulibaly, Pierre-Emerick. You looked at Raheem Sterling. That window, we were looking at bringing in seasoned players to aid the already young players that we had. Then when Stanley and Stewart arrive and they go, right, that's not the policy anymore. We're not doing that. This is how we're dealing with contracts now. So that contract was withdrawn. That was just before the World Cup. Mason Mount then goes out to the World Cup, gets a new PR team, gets a new agent to work with his dad, etc., 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 etc. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Nothing seems to be moving. And his hand was forced. I'm not sitting here and saying that how he left didn't hurt. I think that PR agency absolutely did him in. With that statement, I think how it came across was extremely cold. It was read off the screen and it was tough for him. But then also, like you said, after the game, obviously we saw a lot of posts. We saw players squaring up to him in Enzo Fernandez, Trevor Chalobah celebrating in his face, Alfie Gilchrist posting the picture about we're in this together, etc., etc. Picture of Mason Mount in a United shirt, him in the Chelsea shirt, being like, right, we're in this together if you don't want to be here, whatever. So evidently, there is things we don't know about. And I think there's things I definitely like to see. I loved Enzo Fernandez doing what he did, but not because it was against Mason Mount. I just loved the fact that we had someone
with that fully.
With some, in his term, cojones, some energy about him, just something to really push us through. And what he did... Yeah, like for me, it's not the fact it was Mason Mount. Everyone's saying it was classless, it was this, it was that. Look, I don't care, bottom line. I couldn't care less. What I like was the fact we had someone who had some grit. And it could be like, people saying I was a pussy, he was saying I was walking away, etc., whatever, whatever. What he did was like, we've won the game, I'm done, see you later. This is what you did. Remember where you are, was what you were saying, basically. Remember where you are, remember what we did here. This is what we're doing. You know, to have someone with that energy. And obviously, look, the South Americans don't mess about when it comes to that traitor stuff. You know, he obviously, like you said, they're all buddy-buddy at Cobham. And then all of a sudden, boom, something clearly happened. So, look, for me, obviously, Mace got the reception he got. If I had been there, I wouldn't have clapped him, but I wouldn't have booed him. I'd kind of just stood with my arms folded and been like, okay, cool, fair enough, he's here now. Is what it is. It was weird seeing him in a United shirt, I will say that. But, you know, bottom line is... it's done now. We move on. But, you know, like I said, we talk about emotions. We talk about, you know, how important it is and the energy which Enzo had. One person we haven't talked about yet, and actually it's been doing the rounds a lot on social, is Poch.
Well, passion is not to be a crazy guy doing stupid things on the touchline. I'm not like this, you know. Passion is, the team need to show passion when the 11 player on the pitch running and desperate to get the ball back and score goals. I think that is the passion that our fans need to see. I need to be calm. I need to be very clinical and analytic, watching the game, trying to help them in every single, you know, aspect on the game. And I need to be concentrated and focused. On the end of the game, of course, show your passion like I show it today. Fantastic. But, you know, I am not, that is not a circus that you need the clown to do things on the touchline. You know, I need to be calm. I need to be very focused in trying to help the team. And more in a team that need help from outside, you know, because we are the younger, I think, or one of the younger team in Europe. And I think we need to become the coaching staff and trying to analyze and see in every single, you know, word that you can tell them and help. I am not a clown. I am a coach, head coach. If someone want a clown, can go and find a clown.
You know, you were saying how much you liked him, Jordan. Sort of looking back at those images of him with the fans, sort of how does that make you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't quite Antonio Conte sprinting and taking a full-on jump into row D of the East Stand. But it wasn't far off, you know. And for someone who has, like he said in his presser that we just had a clip of, standing there with his arms folded, thinking logically, trying to create tactics for the team, it was unusual to see that amount of sort of emotion from him. And I love that. And it's something that I think is so, so, so crucial for the staff and for the players and the fans to all connect together. I think that it's a struggle, especially with his history with Tottenham. You know, Chelsea fans are dying for something to connect them with the manager. I think a lot of fans do want him to succeed. I think it's been so difficult with the results that there's just flashes of brilliance. Now, taking a little tangent here, I come from the golf world, right?
Really? I never mentioned that.
I play golf. Yeah, fuck off. I play golf with a lot of beginners. And when you're starting out in golf, there will be flashes of, oh my God, I'm so, so good. And there will also be flashes of, I'm giving this up. What a joke of a game. I literally cannot hit the ball. And that's how I feel Chelsea are at. There's just little flashes of just, we can be absolute world beaters. And there's also flashes of, we wouldn't compete in League One. Now, it's just about finding that. And I think it's really important that we do start to cultivate, not necessarily a new culture, but the players and the staff buy into what it means to be a Chelsea Football Club, what the fans expect. We don't necessarily expect to win every game. We don't expect to win most of the games, but we need to see that they care about being here and that they buy into the club. Because it's not like every other club. This is fucking Chelsea.
This is it. I think that is the one thing which I think is going to be a struggle. I appreciate what he's saying, where he needs to be logical and to help the team, and that's massive. And you know what he's saying about he's a coach, not a clown. You know, I understand that. That's just his personality, evidently. You know, I don't think, which surprises me as of, you know, where he's from and who he models himself on, he doesn't strike me as the most emotive and passionate manager, despite his background. You know, you model yourself.
Yeah, I'd love to see be a fly on the wall for his team talks. Yeah, and like pre-match talks. Just to see what he's saying.
Especially at half-time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, bottom line is, we got the result we needed. It's a massive step forward, hopefully. The amount of times the three of us have said that this year, it's a step forward. And it's not hit it yet. I hope. And obviously we'll talk about it for Sheffield United. But before we get into Sheffield United, we do have some other business which we need to sort out. And that is the two big things which are The Big Question and The Forgotten Banger. Now, Jordan.
Yes, sir.
What is your forgotten banger today?
My forgotten banger today, it was a late entry discovered via Radio 1 on my drive home this evening. But it is a song that I haven't heard since year 11. It's Opposite of Adults by Chitty Bang. I don't know if you've heard it. The MGMT Kids remix. Oh, oh, it's that, so good.
That is an absolute banger.
Yeah, major tune.
Oh, mate, I'm impressed. That's a big tune. I remember that because I first discovered them when FIFA, they're on FIFA, I think, FIFA 13.
And
it wasn't Opposite of Adults, but it was another tune. And then I sort of did a bit more digging, a bit more of a listen. I was like, oh, it's really good. I remember I was seeing my cousin in Glasgow and we listened to their whole album that had Ray Charles, Opposite of Adults, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And LMFAO's whole album.
Yeah, nice.
There are some bangers on that as well. But you know what? I like that. I think automatically that is the winner this week. It beats mine. While I was waiting for you, I was just having a little scroll. And you know when you go onto Spotify and you're listening to tunes and just end up digging and digging and digging and digging?
Uh-huh.
I fell down the rabbit holes. I was trying to find the song. I thought it was Imagine Dragons, but it's not. And I thought, oh, hang on. I think it's One Republic. And I was doing a bit of a scroll of their tunes. Went, oh my God, what a banger. And it's not Counting Stars, it's Apologize, which they did with Timbaland, which is an absolute worldie of a tune.
Yeah, that is. But that is.
I think Chitty Bang wins this week, definitely. I'll be interested to see what Tom would have put forward. We'll have to ask him. He'll have to do a double bill next week when he eventually tells us.
Yeah, he'll have to go 2 for 2.
Exactly. It'd be shocking if he doesn't give us one. But now we move on to his big question, and I'm going to pose it to you, Jordan, right? And I want you to tell me. So, obviously,
knowing my football knowledge is the worst of the theories by quite a long way. Let's see what I got.
Well, put it this way. Okay. So, with that being said, obviously, Tom's big question of the week is, Sheffield United have more than eclipsed Derby County's total, but can you tell me who it is that Derby County managed to beat in their famous one win of their season as another side which seems destined to go down?
So the first thing I'm thinking of is what year that season was.
2007-2008.
I thought it was 07-08. Okay, that's good. That means I'm on the right track. I'm going to go with a bit of a rogue one. Was it Portsmouth? I'll go two because, again, my knowledge isn't the best. I'll go Portsmouth or Sunderland. It's got to be one of those two.
It's none of those.
Wigan?
No.
Fuck. Who?
They beat Newcastle 1-0.
Wow. Was that? Did Newcastle go down that year?
Newcastle? No, they didn't. They weren't anywhere near it. They're doing all right. I mean, Fulham nearly went. Fulham survived on goal difference that year. Bolton survived by a point. But Derby were drawn by Birmingham City and Reading.
United win?
Yes, that was...
Must be.
That was their second year out of two. Or out of three, when they did back-to-back. So they did 06, 07, 07, 08 and 08, 09. And then 09, 10, we won it. But let's go down memory lane, right? Let's go through the list of players that were in that Derby side and see how many we can remember. You got Lewis Price, Mark Edworthy, Jay McEverley, Dean Leacock, Michael Johnson, David Jones, Alan Stubbs, Emmanuel Villa, Robbie Earnshaw was in that team, I remember him, Kenny Miller was in that team,
yeah.
Eddie Lewis, Gary Teal, Andy Todd, Claude Davis, Lee Holmes, Miles Sajowski, Benny Thielhaber, Darren Moore was in that. Darren Moore, who was a manager at West Brom in the season, and he was just recently manager of Huddersfield. He's at Port Vale now. Tyrone Mears, Stephen Pearson, Giles Barnes, Ben Hinchcliffe, Lewin Niatanga, Roy Carroll was one of the other goalkeepers, Miles Addison, Mitchell Hansen, Matthew Richards, Jason Beardsley, Hossan Galli, who was on loan from Tottenham, Paris Simmons, Ruben Zadkovic, and their captain, was the one and only Robbie Savage.
But was it, how many points was it, 11 or 13?
They only got 11 points that season.
Yeah, 11 points.
They signed Danny Mills on loan as well. Oh no, he went on loan to Man City.
Good grief.
Jesus Christ. That is insane.
It's not great, is it?
It is awful. Awful. Yeah, they loaned in Danny Mills in January. Robbie Savage, they signed for $1.5 million from Blackburn Rovers. Roy Carroll on a free transfer from Rangers. Is he still playing as well? I swear he's only playing a couple of years ago. No, he's literally only just retired. Roy Carroll is 46 and literally only just retired. His last game was for Ballinamallard United Football Club. It's a semi-pro team. The last actual professional team he played for was Linfield in 2019.
What league are they in?
Linfield are in the Irish League. Before that, he made 77 appearances for Notts County. He was at Olympiacos for a little bit as well.
Mate, he's just a pure... he's a baller. That's what he is. He just wants to play ball. That's what he wants to do.
Mate, Christ. What an awful team.
It's not great, no.
Well, I'll tell you what. This isn't awful, right? Tom's not here, but he still actually sent us the only part of the show which has a theme tune. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time. That's right. It's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, guys, don't worry. I may not be there tonight recording, but I'm still here and I've still managed to bash out a Stat Shaggers section for you. And then there's a little bonus stat later on, which I'm actually going to let Louis or Jordan read out. Jordan asked a question regarding where we would be without Cole Palmer, and that is still to come. But I've left it later on for Louis and Jordan to discuss in my absence. It's all been laid out. I've double-checked it, so it's definitely correct. But now on to this game, Sheffield United, Stat Shaggers. I was going to say version 30. I'm not sure what version this is. But this is our 30th. Or is it our 31st Premier League game? That's a great question, Tom. It's our 30th Premier League game. There you go. There you have it. 30th Premier League game here. And therefore, it's probably version a little bit more than that. But Stat Shaggers came in late. So anyway, I'm waffling. History of this fixture. Chelsea and Sheffield United have played each other a total of 86 times. Chelsea have won 42 of those. You won't be surprised to know they've won the bulk of them. Drawn 16 and lost 28. A lot of those losses come in quite a way back, though, in sort of the mid and early 1900s. The last 10 have been all Chelsea, really, to be honest. Although it must be said, actually, compared to some of the other, obviously, more traditional Premier League sides, where we play them twice a season, so the last 10 will be the last 5 years, probably. Sheffield United there is not like that. And one of those games actually falls all the way back in 1993, which was a 1-0 win to Sheffield United, thanks to a Willie Falconer goal. If you know who that is, great. But that's just a bit of background for you. There was, of course, also a Sheffield United win in 2020. But if you look at the sort of more recent stats between these two sides, recent matches, Sheffield United, of course, did come into the Premier League in 2019 and stayed up in one season. So there's two sets of four fixtures there, and then another one earlier on in the season. So there is a bit of data, a bit of statistical analysis to go off in the more recent past with Sheffield United, not just looking back at the 90s. So the last 10 games between these two sides, Chelsea have won 7. There's been one draw. Sheffield United have won 2. Obviously, as I said, one back in 1993 and one in 2020, July 2020 to be precise, a 3-0 win for the Blades, which was actually our worst defeat against Sheffield United since 1967. David McGoldrick scoring a brace that day. Remember him. Chelsea have won the last 4, and that includes a 2-0 win at the Bridge in December in the reverse of this fixture, with goals coming from Cole Palmer and Nicholas Jackson. But I'll be honest, our last two games at Bramall Lane haven't been completely comfortable. There was a 2-1 win in February 2021, Jorginho's penalty sealing a win there after an Antonio Rudiger own goal. And as I said, before that was the 3-0 win for Sheffield United. So it's not been completely comfortable at Bramall Lane, which is maybe something to be slightly concerned about. I'll let the two of them discuss that in more detail. But it's not quite been as plain sailing as perhaps we might have liked. Something to bear in mind when you look at the rest of it. Obviously, all the rest really are very much in Chelsea's favour in terms of the stats. Onto manager record, Richard Pochettino has never actually lost to Sheffield United, which is great. Probably expected, but great. Four matches against the Blades. Two wins, two draws. So this is when it's actually perhaps not as great as you might have thought. Technically, though, one of those draws was enough to see Spurs into the League Cup final of the 2015 season anyway. But there was a genuine draw, a proper draw that counted as a point in the Premier League, a 1-1 draw while at Spurs, and his other Premier League match was the earlier season, 2-0 win with Chelsea. So it's a good record in that he's not lost, but perhaps not quite as convincing as you might have thought, considering Sheffield United's recent plight in the Premier League over their last three seasons, I suppose, really. Although one of those seasons they did come ninth, which perhaps shows that maybe they're not quite as bad as they might have been. Anyway, recent form. This is where it matters. This is where we're looking at Sheffield United now, in the now, their recent form. The last five matches for Sheffield United have largely been a bit better. But again, it doesn't really mean much because, unfortunately, better for them has meant picking up 2 points from a possible 15. They competed well enough at Molineux against Wolves, losing only 1-0. But then, unfortunately, it got really, really ugly at home against Arsenal, 6-0 defeat. It looked at one point as though it was going to be record-breaking. We were looking at double figures at one point. Everyone was kind of looking at the 9-0s and checking that out. It didn't end up 6-0, but it was a real men against boys performance, that one. But since then, there has been a bit of an improvement. A 2-2 draw against Bournemouth before the international break at the Vitality, and then a 3-3 draw in a really entertaining game there where Fulham came back from 3-1 down at Bramall Lane. So back-to-back draws there. And then they had a real go against Liverpool. I don't know, obviously Chelsea were on, so probably wouldn't have watched a bit, but I watched the first sort of 15 minutes, and it was really all Sheffield United until Darwin scored. And then they did equalise, but in the end Liverpool had too much and beat them 3-1. But there's definitely been an improvement in the way they're playing. But you would have known from that that they conceded a lot of goals, and that is true. In fact, so many goals that they are currently on track to break the record for the most goals conceded in a 38-game season, which is 89, Derby County, obviously. They've already shipped 80 goals. There are eight games left. So it seems as though they're almost certain to break that record. The question I have, though, is it going to be an all-round Premier League record? Because currently that record is at 100 goals. That was back in the 1990s when they played 22 teams, so maybe 42 games in a season. And that record is at 100, which was Swindon Town. With eight games left, could Sheffield United break that as well? That is the real question. And I want to let the lads discuss. But yes, as I said, there's another bonus stat coming in the next act. So enjoy that. But apologies for my absence. But this has still been Stat Shaggers, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And it's back to the lads in the studio.
There you go, guys. That was Stat Shaggers. Obviously, the big thing for that takeaway, we were actually having a quick discussion whilst we were listening to it with you. And the big thing there is the form of Sheffield United. Obviously, they've picked up slightly. Maybe not won games, but they look to be playing a little bit better. So I think the one thing that leaves me and Jordan incredibly worried is the fact that they have picked up their form, the fact they are fighting for their lives, and we've just won a game in the last minute. Does that or does that not make you absolutely shit yourself?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be Burnley 2.0, to be honest. I think it's either Burnley 2.0, where we score first, then lose it, as per usual, or we'll smash them 6-0. Or they'll smash us 6-0, because I don't know. Who knows anymore? This is just a joke.
It's a nightmare, isn't it? I mean, look, I think the whole season is just very difficult. And I mean, obviously, before we even get into it, we've got to do the Echo 11. So, Jordan, right, we want to have some continuity. What are we doing?
I'm not opposed to giving Bobby Sanchez a little run out.
What? No, really?
I haven't been too impressed with Petrovic's shot stopping in the last few games. He was all right against United. There were a couple of them where I thought,
really? You know, I think you're being a bit harsh, mate.
I think I probably am being a bit harsh. I might just be like wanting to change it up for the sake of wanting to change it up. I like Petrovic a lot. I really rate him, but, you know.
I mean, I think, look, Petrovic, I agree, hasn't necessarily been up to scratch, but then I have also seen Bobby Sanchez in goal, and that makes me sweat behind the knees. So I'm going to veto it.
I do agree with that, to be honest, yeah.
I think so. We've got Petrovic in goal. The back four, I'm guessing, does it remain the same, or do we change it? I think it has to change. I was not impressed at all with Axel.
But what do we do? Where do we go?
I'd just put Thiago Silva back in. I really would. I think, look, we're not defensively resolute enough. I think the debate could even be, do we switch it to a back three again? Just because that seems to be when we're at our best defensively, at our with the best shape. But then at the same time, do you want to see Cucurella as a wing back? Because I'm not sure I do. Actually, do you know what? I think it would actually work better. I'm going to put this forward. I think we should switch to a back five. And I know people are going to say it's Sheffield United. Why are being so overly defensive? It's because I want to get into those European places and I want to pick up 3 points. So I'm going to say we switch it to a three. Yes or no?
You know, I'm not opposed to it because I really want a trip. A lad's trip to Bucharest next year.
I'll be messy. Are we like with that? By the way, are we doing like shit shirts or like what's the situation? Like, how does it operate?
I don't know. But I need Europe. I need Europe in some form. I don't care if we're going to Luxembourg. I need something that is not Premier League or FA Cup or League Cup.
Okay, right. So let's go with that then. Let's go with the back five. So we've got Petrovic in goal. Wing backs are probably going to be what? Cucurella, and we're going to go with Gusto. Back three, Thiago Silva, Benoit Badiashile,
Disasi.
I mean, Colwill could be back, potentially.
Yeah, but I'd rather bleed him in than get him out there.
Okay.
Yeah. I like Disasi a lot. I want him to be good.
I'm more and more leaning to Tom's camp of we talk about best ability being availability, but
don't get me wrong, Colwill gets in the team ahead of him for sure, but Colwill was not fit. Shock. So we've got Petrovic, Cucu, Thiago Silva, Disasi, Badiashile, Gusto.
He's in your two midfield, Enzo and Caicedo.
Yeah.
And then the front three has to be Mudryk. I thought he looked pretty good against United, personally. He was actually putting balls in dangerous places. He was taking players
on. I really like Mudryk. He played Cucurella through to win the pen as well.
Yeah.
I am so team Misha. It's not even funny. Have been the whole season. I love the kid. I think he could be so good. He's another one. I want him to do well.
Yeah.
I really want him to succeed. And I think he can. I think he's such a raw talent. I think he could be unbelievable, but just needs a little bit more time. You know. I think it stays the same.
Yeah. So you really go Jackson, Palmer, and Mudryk.
Yeah, I mean, who else is there?
Yeah, so we're dropping Gallagher from the team.
Yeah. Give Enzo the armband.
Mm.
I like Gallagher. I do like him, but I'm more than happy switching it up and going to a back five. And if that's the case, Gallagher's going to be the casualty. So it is what it is.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, look, like I know we're going a bit overly defensive and we're going safety measure central here, right?
Yeah, but I think let's fucking keep a clean sheet. It's Sheffield United. It shouldn't be hard. Let's fucking focus on let's just keep a clean sheet. We'll score a goal. I have faith in us that we'll score a goal.
Mm.
We've started scoring goals now. I remember last year we couldn't score a goal for shit.
Well, what's mad, right? Yeah, with that, we're actually defensively better under Potter, but we score more goals under Pochettino. So if we could somehow find a balance, because look, Badiashile was not that bad, right, under Potter and under Lampard. He looked pretty solid.
Yeah, he did.
So why he looks so awful now is beyond me. Maybe it is the fact we're playing two. Maybe we should be playing a back three. But we'll have to see with that.
I have faith. And summer's coming. It's almost time for the Argentinian to break out the barbecue again. He's going to turn Chelsea around. and we're going to find it. We're going to find the solutions.
Well, I mean, look, like, obviously we're sitting there saying we should play a back five, right? Which shows that we aren't being complacent in this situation, right? But do you think that after such a massive high in that Manchester United victory, that is something which we should worry about potentially, where the players might be a bit more complacent? And as you said, we could be seeing a Burnley 2.0.
I hope not. I don't get the sense particularly of arrogance from many of the players. The only ones I kind of feel that sort of arrogance from are people like Sterling, really. I can see for most of them, you know, I think they're young, I think they're hungry, I think they are desperate for European football, more desperate than the fans are, I think. Well, I say this, they are a very naive group. We've seen that over and over again. I think it requires nights like last night to bring the team together. You can't just put a group of guys together and, yeah, they're going to training every day. They need to go to war together. That's how the old Chelsea teams were. They went to battle together. The old United teams, they're the ones that come to mind. Mm. Even the Arsenal in the early 2000s. These are the teams that I remember that they were, you could tell that they were such a unit.
Yeah. You can even see it with the City side and the Liverpool side of recent years. And I think everyone bangs on about how they are something because they're all so lovely together, but they fight for each other. No. Like, I until they win something, I don't want to hear it. You look at this Liverpool side, you look at, you know, the Man City team. There's so many leaders in both those teams, so many people who step up, so many people who set the examples. That willingness for battle is so important. And I think Enzo showing that at the end of the game against Man United as well was massive.
It takes time, you know. They're not going to find that in training. The only place they're going to find that is producing results like last night. That's the only place where they're going to find that together.
Mm.
And it's just about being a little patient, letting opportunities like that present themselves and then taking those opportunities that are going to turn them all into being a more of a unit. They're not going to find that fucking doing drills at Cobham. I hope not. I hope they don't get complacent. I don't think they will. And again, we have to go back to the coaching. You know, Poch has to really make a point of not being complacent, going out and being ruthless. I feel like ruthless has been the sort of trigger word for me the whole year because I just don't see it particularly. Mm. But I think I'm praying that we're going to come out there and we're just going to destroy Sheffield United. And just I really feel like we're getting close to that corner and turning it. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they'll thump us.
Mm, well, see, I mean, look, we'll have to see if they can hurt us. Obviously, look, there's no pressure on them, really. You know, I think they're very settled with the fact they're going to be heading back down to the Championship. And obviously they sit in a Chris Wilder system, which means low block, sit and defend, try and contain the team as much as possible. And we absolutely despise that with the players we've got. I think a reason we thrived and scored 4 goals against Manchester United was purely because the game was so ridiculously open. So we'll have to see with that. But, I mean, before we do go, we do have one more thing from Mauricio Pochettino in the presser in regards to this Sheffield United fixture.
Yeah, the quality is the idea, is the philosophy, is always thinking to go forward, into create chances. I think we are, I don't know, in Premier League, we are in the top four, creating big chances, creating chances. It's about philosophy, no? That we can see different clubs that they play, you know, to try to get, you know, goals or chances through set pieces. But we are Chelsea. We are a big club, and the big club is about to create a philosophy that to play football, and good football, exciting football, and play in the opposite half and to create chances.
Credit to Poch for that, to be fair.
Yeah, I agree. I like the bit where he said, we are Chelsea, you know?
Mm.
You know, again, that's more things that's going to help endear the fans to him.
Yeah, and I think that's massive. And what I think, for me, there's a clear message there. He's saying, look, we want to be playing good football, we want to be doing this, we want to be doing that. Top four chance created. What I appreciate there is a clear communication, and I think that's really important. You know, everything he's been saying is massive, and you know, this is a massive game for the likes of Mudrick and Jackson as well, players who create those chances, players that can put those balls in the back of the net, massive for their confidence. So I really hope that they can deliver on that. And obviously, I think more importantly, I hope that Cole Palmer continues to deliver. Do you want to know the stats? Tom's put it in.
Go on.
Right, here is your top shagging stat for today, right? Without Cole Palmer, Chelsea would be 19 points worse off if you take him out of the equation for every goal and every assist this season. That would see Chelsea in 17th on 24 points. Obviously, you've got to consider penalties because someone else might have scored them. But just taking everything, that's how important Cole Palmer is to this Chelsea team.
What's the relegation zone?
We'd be 2 points ahead of Luton at time of recording.
Wow.
That's how important he's been for Chelsea this season. That's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he is a godsend. I think he's one of our best signings of the last 20... I mean, of the last 20 years. Yeah. You know, look where we'd be without him.
Yeah.
And he was 40 million quid. 40 million. Like... I'm saying that like it's not a lot. It's a ridiculous amount of money, but that's how much footballers go for now. Back in the day, this is like £2 million from when we were growing up watching. He's an absolute bargain. And he's a baby. He's literally a child.
He's also, at time of recording, only 2 points behind Haaland for the Golden Boot. 2 goals.
I really fancy him for that because Haaland has not been firing either. I'm serious. I reckon I've got a real, real thing. If he can bag a couple against Sheffield, tell you what, he might get another hat trick. I could see another back-to-back hatties for Cold.
I mean, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? It'd be very nice. We'll have to see. Well, I mean, look, stick that on your Aka Sandra Tonali. Stick that on your Aka Ivan Tony. We've got Cole Palmer to score another hat trick. But we'll have to see. Obviously, guys, let us know all your thoughts down in the comments. Let us know everything you want to hear in the future on the Chelsea Echo. And obviously, everything you've thought of the pod with the Sheffield United fixture. Make sure you let everyone know about the pod as well. Make sure you sign up to the Chelsea Sideline Club as well, by the way. Thank you to everyone that listened to the Town Hall. It was a great space, great conversation, really important chats had as well. And we're going to be doing them again. So make sure you get involved. Make sure you come and have a chat with us. Obviously, if you haven't as well, sign up to the Sideline Club. There's some fantastic content on there. We've got some great things coming out with some great creators, some great journalists, and some great people who have made some fantastic content over a long period as well, by the way, may I add. A lot of hard work has gone into this. But obviously as well, make sure you check out The Echo. Make sure that you check us out post-game with the final score show and the voice note reviews will be coming out straight after the final whistle. Give us a 5-star review on any platform you're listening on, and we'll see you guys later. Ta-da.